reason it's not out of Konami because
it's good. It's good. You can't even tell. If the napkin's out, you can't tell for sure.
Wait a minute. I thought you said Terry's not here. Why is it fruit?
It was out, Alec.
I vote for fruit. So good. Okay, so in Shishi of this week's Parsha, we come across a pasuk that we're all very familiar with. Of course, the pasuk right after Shema. V'yahavta eis Hashem elokecha. Shalom Rav Dovi. You should love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. V'chol mo'odecha and all of your mo'odecha. Money, resources. Right? Mishnah says in Brachos, v'chol mida. Whatever mida Hashem sends your way, whatever measure Hashem sends your way. If Hashem gives you good things, you should be happy. If Hashem gives you bad things, you should be happy. To serve Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, and to love Hashem. So the question is, what is that? How do you love Hashem? Is that an action? Is that an emotion? How do you love Hashem? Are we good at loving Hashem? How much do we need to love Hashem? If you look in Shir HaShirim, in the second source, Shir HaShirim says in the second parak, Pasuk Hey, Ki Cholas Ahava Ani. Shir HaShirim, of course, is the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it describes a scenario of a person being Cholas Ahava. So again, how would you translate Cholas Ahava? So most of us would probably say lovesick. Cholas Ahava means I'm completely infatuated and madly in love with someone. Again, in the mashal of Shir HaShirim, it's the two lovers. In the nimshal, it's Klal Yisrael and it's Knesset Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how the Rambam actually understood this pasuk. Ki Cholas Ahava Ani. It's interesting. I was reading a sefer. I'm not going to say what sefer. But recently I was reading a sefer put out by a group of Hasidim who are practicing today. Some Torahs from the Rebbe. And when they quoted this Rambam, they censored it. So we're about to read a controversial Rambam. Why would they censor this Rambam? Because if I'm a Hasidic Jew, and I mean this very respectfully, if I'm a Hasidic Jew, the terminology the Rambam uses here to describe, you know, if I'm expected to have an arranged marriage, right, so I may never have experience what the Rambam is about to describe when it comes to loving Hashem. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, V'ketzed hi ha'av ha'ruya. What is real love supposed to look like? And the Rambam is not shy. In the Sefer, it said, Ketzed hi ha'av ha'ruya, hu sheyehav es Hashem av gadol yasera ozim ha'od. A person should be madly in love with Hashem, to love Hashem so much, ad shetehe nafshu kshura ba'avas Hashem, to your soul feels that it's connected deeply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much so that I think about Hashem all the time, I'm with Hashem all the time, I'm obsessed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, ki'ilu chol echoli ha'ava, like a person who's lovesick. Right? And this is where the Sefer put dot, dot, dot. Didn't want to invoke the mashal, but maybe some of us who have a more modern background can relate to this, and it's a feeling that if we've ever felt is very powerful, is very strong. Hopefully, it's a feeling we all have for our spouses, or we'll have for our spouses when the time comes. Those of us who are not married, right? It's a strong feeling of love where you're obsessed with another person. Now, it's not always going to be that way, obviously. Certainly not in a relationship of basar v'dam. But he says, "She'ein daito pnuya me'avas osa isha." You're thinking about that woman constantly, and you can't get her out of your mind. And you're obsessed with her, says the Rambam. Bein b'shivto, bein b'kumo. When you go to sleep, when you wake up, she's the first thing on your mind. Bein b'shashu ochel v'shosa, you're sitting and you're eating your lunch and you're thinking about her. Yasser mizeh, tia avas Hashem b'leiv o avav. Even more than that, a person should be obsessed with Hashem. So as much as the person, as much as these two people who are badly in love with each other can't stop thinking about each other, even more than that, the Torah demands of us, when it says, love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul and all of your faculties. And this is what it means in Shir HaShirim. Ki cholas ahava ani. When it says in Shir HaShirim, I am lovesick, it's describing this picture of someone who's literally obsessed with someone that they can't, no matter what they're doing, this is what's always on their mind. And I'm sure many of us would have translated ki cholas ahava ani in that way. Right? To be lovesick. That's how the Rambam understood it. There's an amazing Netziv. The Netziv wrote a commentary on Shir HaShirim. And I definitely want to start the Shir by using this Rambam and the Netziv to sort of contrast, to kind of challenge us and to kind of maybe make a little cheshbon and nefesh. Where are we holding? Have we ever felt this way for Hashem? Forget always thinking about Hashem. Forget being obsessed with Hashem all the time. The way this, again, this person is infatuated with his beloved. Right? But have we ever, even for a moment, have we had a day in our life where we spent the whole day just obsessing over Hashem? And if not,
I feel like then, you're also guys.
Okay, could be. It could be.
I used to tease my roommate that when his girlfriend broke up with him, that she left that way.
Okay, it could be.
They just can't.
Women are more naturally able to connect emotionally, generally speaking. Definitely true. So look what the Nitziv says, right? So for those of us maybe who feel like I've never felt this way about God, so look what the Nitziv says. It's very sad, but it's very powerful. The Nitziv reads the pasuk totally differently. The Nitziv in his commentary in Shir HaShirim called Rina Shel Torah, there's a shorter version and there's a longer version. I was debating which piece to put in. He Dafka says in one of the shorter pieces, which you don't have in front of you, he says, I don't think the real pshat of the pasuk is like the Rama. I don't think that the Cholas Ava Ani in the Shir HaShirim is describing someone who's so wildly in love and knows who they're in love with and what they're in love with. The other way to describe a lovesick is a person who's what? Who's so sick they don't know how to love anymore. The very opposite, right? A sickness where I don't even know how to love anymore. I never feel that way about Hashem. Look what he writes. It's very beautiful. It's sad, but it's beautiful. He says, Ki Cholas Ava Ani, in source number 4. I'm sick over the fact that I don't know how to love anymore. What does that mean? I desperately need help. Teach me how to love. Rabbona Shalom, teach me how to love you. It's like a person when I'm sick, when a person's physically sick, right? Let's say a person loves Chinese. They love eating Chinese. Lamasha. Yeah? So when you're sick, when you have a stomach, when you have one of those 24-hour bugs, no matter how much you love Chinese, you don't love Chinese at all. And you can't even fathom how I once loved Chinese. I'm so sick from that Chinese, right? I can't even picture. And I know the reason I'm able to intellectually put the pieces together and say, hold on a second. Normally, I could have Chinese every night for dinner. Now, I'm disgusted by it. So I must be sick of I'm sick from that which I love. And I need to get fixed. I need to heal myself. I need to learn once again to desire eating. A healthy, normal human being desires food. If I don't, it's a sign that I'm sick. I've lost my appetite. So it says in the Tziv, Bahavdil, Alachas Kam Bakam in the spiritual realm, Kacha Nefesh HaYisraeli HaYudas Oneg Nifla Zeh Shel Avas Hashem Ve'inu Masigo. I'm sure at least we can admit to this. We know that the feeling of loving Hashem should be an unbelievable feeling. The Rambam told us it's that intense feeling of love that we've sometimes felt for other human beings. Right? So we know that such a feeling of love does exist, but it's out of reach. So it's a sign that what? That I'm lovesick. Not lovesick, obsessed with my lover, right? But I'm sick that I don't know how to love anymore. And therefore, Mishtateach B'yashar Lefnei Malachim, therefore, Shir HaShirim is lamenting the fact, is calling out for heavenly help. La'azor lahasig zeha'oneg. I know there's such a thing as loving Hashem, and I know that's supposed to be an unbelievable feeling, and I've never experienced it, and it's a tefillah that I want to experience it. So, B'derech tefillah, I want to use this nitziv for us as we begin this year. I don't think most of us are living on the level of the Rambam, where we're obsessed with Hashem all day, all night. We wake up thinking about Hashem, we go to sleep thinking about Hashem, when we're eating and drinking, we're thinking about Hashem. Right? I hope we're not as broken as what the Nitziv is describing. We've never felt it. And if we are, halavai, this year should help us to figure out what does it mean to love Hashem, and to be able to work on it, so that we can be healed, that we don't have to be sick, that we can come back to loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, the obvious problem with loving Hashem is, what does it mean? What do you do? Again, the Rambam seems to describe a feeling of being infatuated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But the question is, can the Torah command us to have a feeling? Is it realistic for us to be able to control our feelings? Controlling actions is one thing. Controlling emotions might be a very different thing. This is a question that the Ibn Ezra raises in two places. Here, both here and in Parshas Yisro, by the Yisaras HaDibros, Ibn Ezra raises the following question. Right? The tenth of the Ten Commandments, as presented in this week's parsha, is Lo Tisaveh. How is it presented in Yisro? Lo Sachmur. Right? It's not the same thing, but it's a similar thing, which means don't be jealous. Don't desire that which is not yours. Okay? So says the Ibn Ezra, a very interesting question. Can I control my desires? You want to tell me not to act on it, that's one thing. But how can I control how I feel? That's how I feel. That's how you made me, Hashem, no? V'rabim amru, many have asked, ki ein avon b'machshavas halev. Some say, there's nothing wrong with feelings. V'ein halev schar v'onesh. I'm not going to be held accountable for my feelings. Mitzvah is about what I do or what I don't do. Schar va'onesh, reward and punishment, is what I do and what I don't do. So says the Ibn Ezra, people ask, can I be expected to control my emotions? Some say no. Says the Ibn Ezra, it's not true at all. V'yesh rayos rabos l'hashav alein v'lo arich. I want to respond. There's many proofs that I could bring. I'm not going to give you so many. I'll just give you a couple. And he quotes a few psukim here. Right? It says in Mishlei, lev choresh machshavas oven. A person's held accountable. Right? There's a concept of a machshavot oven. Sinful thoughts. Again, a pasuk in Direi Yamin. It says, "Hetivosa ki haya im levavecha." Again, being taken to task because of what's in your heart. Again, in Tehillim, "Valiyisharim b'libosa." Moshe says that parshas Netzavim, maybe describing the whole Torah, maybe describing the mitzvah of tshuva, "Beficha uvavavcha lasoso." It's not just what you say. It's not just what you do. It's not just beficha. It's not just lasoso, but it's also b'vavcha. Right, what are my feelings? So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, not only do feelings not matter in Yiddishkeit, feelings might be the main thing. Rachmana liba bai, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The ikar kol amitzos liyasher b'leiv v'rubam zecher. The ikar of everything is what? Straighten out the heart. And so many mitzvos are just a zecher to remind us of something, to think about something, to recall something, to try to emotionally reconnect, not to something that I'm physically experiencing right now, but to try to draw on the mind and on the heart. And therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, to assume that the Torah wouldn't command us in emotions is a mistake. Okay, but again, it's hard for us to understand how that works. Right? There was a tzaddik who suffered in the Holocaust. I mentioned him the other week. Rav Gad Eisner. So Rav Gad Eisner has a sefer. They put out his writings called Mesilas Gad. So in there, on the entry for Avos Hashem, he gives the following mashal. He says, imagine a father with two children. He has two sons. Right? One son loves fleishiks, and one son loves milchiks. One son loves meat, one son loves fish. And they both hate the opposite, right? The one who loves meat can't stand fish, and the one who loves fish can't stand meat. So can the father command the one who loves meat, I want you to love fish? Dad, I don't love fish, and I never will. Right? The father could command, says Rav Gad Eisner, the father could command the child who doesn't like eating fish to eat fish. He could hold his nose, he could you know, close his eyes, and he could stuff it down his throat. So his dad says, no, did you love it? I didn't love it. I can act it out. I can do what you tell me to do. You tell me, God, get up in the morning, put on my tefillin. Right? Okay, so I'll get up and put on my tefillin. Maybe I like it, maybe I don't like it. Right? But how can you command me to feel? What I feel is what I feel. Right? I either love you or I don't love you, Hashem. So how can you command me to change my feelings? You can command me to change my actions, but you can't command me to change my feelings. So the Ibn Ezra in source number 6 says, I'll give you a very simple mashal to explain to you how a person can, so to speak, reel in their feelings. Again, he's talking about losach. The Torah says, don't be jealous of your friend. How can I control what's in my heart? My friend drives by in a certain car, and I'm jealous of his car. I see the relationship he has with his spouse, with his children, and I'm envious of his wife, I'm envious of his kids, I'm envious of his job. How can I control those things? So Ibn Ezra gives a simple mashal. I'll just tell it to you outside. He says, imagine, you know, right? Aladdin is like the Yotzei Min HaKlal, because Aladdin ends up with the princess, right? But a normal, you know, street rat, as he called himself, never dreams of marrying the princess. A pauper never imagines that one day he's going to marry the princess. So if he's a healthy human being, if he's not crazy, right? He knows that it's not shy. He doesn't spend his time thinking, oh, I wish I could get that girl. She's not in his league, says the Ibn Ezra. That's the mashal the Ibn Ezra gives. To think that this Ish Kafri is going to marry the princess, no matter how beautiful she is or how desirable she is, he's not going to waste his time obsessing over her because it's not happening. It'll never happen. Does a person have thoughts, I wish I could fly. He spends his whole life, I wish I could fly. He knows he can't fly. It's not shaykh. It's not within the realm of possibility. So says the Ibn Ezra, he doesn't spend time thinking, oh, that bird, I wish I had wings and I could fly. He knows he's not going to have wings. He knows he's not going to fly. So therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, the same thing is true, it's such a powerful Ibn Ezra, about everything Hashem gives us. That guy's wife is never going to be your wife. And that guy's job is never going to be your job. And that guy's kids are never going to be his kids. And by the way, the things that, you know, the way he looks with his kids is not always how it is behind closed doors. The way he looks with his wife is not always how it is behind closed doors. And just because he has more money or less money doesn't make him more happy or less happy. You never know. So the Ibn Ezra says, your life is tailor-made for you. And therefore, spending time, wasting emotional energy, thinking about something that's not shayach to you, is not possible. And therefore, that's how the Torah asks us to control our emotions. To realize that the emotions that you should have are the ones that are appropriate to you. So this actually becomes the answer to how do we love God? How do we love God? The Torah says love God. What if I don't have that feeling? Says the Sfas Emes, the question is the answer. What do I mean? Take a look. It's a beautiful Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says in source number 7, Kushyas l'mefarshim b'shem ha-Rambam, mitzvahs v'ahavta. Right? The same question that bothered the Ibn Ezra, how can the Torah command us not to be jealous? That's how I feel. I can't control my feelings. So the Rambam asked the same question about loving God. How can the Torah, God, you want me to serve you? I'll do it. You want me to shake a palm branch? I'll do it. You want me to build a sukkah? I'll do it. You want me to blow a shofar? I'll do it. You want me to show my cell phone on Shabbos? I'll do it. But I'm not going to claim that I love it if I don't. How can you command me to love it? Eich shayach tzivoy b'davar hatoli b'teva adam. This is my nature. My nature is that I'm not interested. I don't love it. So it says this Sfas Emes. It's beautiful. He flips it on its head. V'ayemes ki akushu hi atzma teretz. The question is the answer. How is the question the answer? What does he mean by that? He means the following. Shemizeh nilmat sheyesh b'teva kol yish yisrael lehov l'Hashem yisbarach. The same way, Ibn Ezra said, right? The pauper never dreams of marrying the princess because he knows it's not shayach to him. So it's the same way that when Hashem says to us, I command you to love me, so you say, no, it's not shayach. Hashem says, what do you mean it's not shayach? The fact that I command you is my way of telling you that it is shayach. It is possible. The very fact that God asks us to love Him means it's possible. The Torah doesn't ask us to do things that we can't do. The very fact that Hashem says, love me, so you say, but I don't. So Hashem says, that's not true, you do. So you say back to Hashem, but why don't I feel it then? I believe you that you know me better than I know myself. And you're not going to ask me to do something that I can't do. So now you say, God says, I want you to fall in love with me. You say, God, I don't feel it. So why don't we feel it? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We have to accept at face value that we can feel it. The Torah tells us we can. V'ahavta, the Hashem says, love me. So what's stopping us? Says Sfas Emes in the third line. The fact that Hashem commands us, again, is a proof that it's possible. That it's possible for kol ish yisrael leho l'Hashem yisbarach b'chol libo v'nafsho. V'rak, here's the key words, shenitman v'omek halev. Where'd the love go? When you were a baby, you loved Hashem. When you were in first grade, you were so excited for your chumash play. So why aren't you so excited for Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas Matos Masei? Right? As a kid, you were so excited about Torah, so why don't you love it anymore? The answer is because it's become buried v'omek halev. It's buried under all sorts of other things. We've chosen to fall in love with all sorts of other things, some appropriate things and some inappropriate things, and that has buried my most natural love, which is my love of Hashem. So how do I work on that? I develop a ratzon, a longing and a desire, limtzo zos ha'ava, to dig out, so to speak, to believe that it's buried there, because Hashem says it is. I know it's true, I know it's there. To dig it out, and that's what it says, yagati matzati. If I'm willing to dig, I'll find it. And that's really the mitzvah, in a certain sense, of what Ahavas Hashem is. A, to believe it's possible that I can love Hashem, and B, to start working on it. How do I work on it? To know that I have it inside of myself, and to try to start digging it out from the Omek Halev. To try to take off whatever else it's buried under. Yeah, Rav Dovi.
Make the differentiation between loving Him and loving His commandments. And
okay, good. So we're going to have to see, right. So the first Rambam that we saw was about being obsessed with Him.
Your spouse, you can love your spouse, but not like certain things that they do.
Okay, hear. Good. Right. Exactly. So can I still love Hashem? Can I do the opposite? Can I be madly in love with Hashem and still think that it's annoying to put on tefillin? Right? That would be the opposite. Right? The same way that I love my spouse, but there's certain things that she asks me to do or things that she does that I don't like. And it doesn't mean that I don't love her, it doesn't mean that I'm not. Yeah.
And I get mad at Hashem. Like, is that, you know, people, I mean, sometimes someone might get into a fight with her.
Right, that doesn't mean I don't love you.
That's Hashem.
Right.
Not over on the table, but can you then get mad?
No, but if it's a normal relationship that you're striving for, then you're going to have ups and downs.
Right. So that's the question. So in this Rambam, in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Teshuvah, describing this obsession, right? So you might say, okay, that's like how I felt on my wedding day, and that's how I feel at certain points, but it's not how I feel every day, right? It's almost unhealthy to be so obsessed, right? Like when you first fell in love with your spouse. But is that realistic? But if it comes to Hashem, maybe that is realistic. Maybe with Hashem, it's not unhealthy. Maybe it is realistic to be madly obsessed with Hashem all the time, thinking about Him nonstop. Yeah.
Is there a certain negative aspect of humanizing, you know, Hashem? Maybe you said almost like the debate. I don't know, same thing with, you know, with the avos. You know, sometimes you say we want to look at them, and
right.
You want to show them. So here too, is there a negative aspect right. with making this? Like maybe there's something to that. It's a supernatural Hashem. You know, this is it's not right. someone.
There's no question. There's no question that Shir Hashirim is mashal and nimshal. But again, we've done a disservice. We've done a disservice in certain ways by always interpreting Shir Shirim allegorically. Right? Meaning that Hasidic Sefer that I was looking at, that knew that its readers would have no concept of what the Rambam's describing of like falling in love with your girlfriend for the first time, because it's not their, it's just not how their lives have unfolded. Right? There's something tragic about that, because we have to use Olam Hazel loves as a stepping stone to Avas Hashem. Right? Because it's impossible to just to love. I've never seen Hashem, I've never heard His voice, again, in a physical way. So I have to use my physical loves, and then I have to learn to channel it towards God. So, but you're right, there is something, the goal is hopefully to move past, in a certain sense it is sad if my understanding of loving Hashem is as much as my love of my favorite food. Right? I have to use that as a stepping stone to love Hashem, but I have to move past it. There's no question.
So that's the essence of what it is that the love is just a stepping stone to be able to find what that completely different love is.
Right. There's no question. It sounds like it's both qualitatively and quantitatively a more intense love. That I can do it all the time, and I can do it on the most intense level all the time. Again, the Rambam is describing the ideal. The Rambam, the great rationalist, by the way, here is telling us, you know, about falling in love. People point to this Rambam to show that even though the Rambam was a person of logic and a person of who was a very rationalist philosopher, but the Rambam was also madly in love with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it definitely comes out in certain places in his writings, and this is one place that they like to point to. Okay, but what you see from the Sfas Emes is part of the way that we actually work on this is by removing certain blockage. That there's things that are blocking me from loving Hashem directly, and I have to start digging. I'll give you a good mashal the Dibna Magid brings. Dibna Magid says, imagine a fellow goes to a tailor to have a custom-made suit. Wants to have a suit made, custom-made, this guy's supposed to be the best, right? And he measures them up, and he sizes them up. Nowadays, you know, you can go to certain suit stores, you step into a machine, they'll measure you from head to toe, they'll take x-ray, you know, shots of you from all angles, and they'll have a suit that's perfectly made, you know, to fit you. Yeah? So the suit finally arrives, the guy takes a look at it, it's beautiful, takes it home, he thinks paid a hefty price, he goes home, puts on the suit, he comes back and he's furious. He says, this suit doesn't fit at all. So the guy looks at him, he starts laughing. He's laughing in his face. He says, you're such a clown. You think, you have to take off the old suit before you put the new suit on. You can't put the suit on top. You were so excited to wear the new suit that you threw the new suit on top. Of course it's not going to fit. With another suit underneath, of course it's too tight. Of course it's too short. Right? So the Dibna Magid said, sometimes we have this epiphany, I want to love Hashem. Right? I'm ready to start wearing the suit of Avas Hashem. So I start to throw it in. And it's very uncomfortable. It doesn't seem to fit right. It doesn't fit right because you have all sorts of other Avas that are taking up, so to speak, your emotional energy. And now Avas Hashem doesn't seem to fit just right. So one of the ways, again, that we work on Avas Hashem, what the Sfas Emes is alluding to, is to start digging out some of those other Avas. Again, that doesn't mean giving up the love for our spouse and our children, right? But even in some way, a person does have to sacrifice on some level my time and my emotional energy towards my family. Again, Chazal talk about that, even though it's a very painful and hard thing to say, maybe it's a level we'll never reach, where I choose Hashem over my own family. Right? It's hard for us to think like that, but we know, part of us knows that to be true. But at least other types of love, right? If I'm obsessed with the Yankees, so maybe I can give that up a little bit to start making room for loving a Kadosh Baruch. The Be'er Mayim Chaim in source number 8 gives a similar mashal. I'll just share it outside for now. Again, he raises the same question. How can we love Hashem? How can we love Hashem? And he gives a mashal again of a king who has a palace, and from his palace there's a beautiful spring of very clean and pure water. And the king wants people to enjoy this water. But he doesn't want people coming with their muddy shoes, with their buckets that aren't clean, and contaminating his pure, you know, source of water. So what the king does is he sets up pipes. And he gives each person a pipe. And he says, this is your pipe. Guard it and protect it. Make sure it doesn't get rusty. Make sure it doesn't get dirty. And if you keep the pipe clean, then you'll be able to pump pure water into your home, into your life. So the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Chaim Chernovitzer, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, says the same thing with Avas Hashem. If you can keep the connection open, that's what Sfas Emes is saying, if you can keep those lines open, then it's very easy to feel Ava. If you don't feel it, it's only because we've blocked it with all sorts of other things. Like I've said a few times in the past, the word that we use for a person who denies God, taking this Avas Hashem even to Yediyas Hashem, a person who denies God, what are some of the terms we use for a heretic? A kofer. A kofer, right? Why do we call a kofer a kofer? A kofer is a kofer. What does the word kofer mean? Kofer means kapara, the chafarta, the kapores, right? The first time the word kofar appears in the Torah is by Noach's teva. He's told what? The chafarta osami bayis mihutz ba kofar. To cover the teva inside and out with kofar. Right? To cover with pitch from the inside and out. Kofar means a cover up. When something's been covered over. That's why when we ask Hashem for kapara, we're asking Hashem to cover up, like, we know that you know we did averos, but like, cover it over, pretend you don't see them. A kofar, what we're saying to this Jew is actually being mechazik him. He says, I don't believe in God. We say, yeah, you're a kofar. What does it mean? It means deep down inside you do believe in God. But you've covered it with all sorts of things that have caused you to no longer believe in God. I'll just tell. I haven't told this story in a long time. It's a nasty story, but it's a good story. Rishim Shrafal Hirsch was once invited. Rav Hirsch, of course, was fighting against Kofar. Right? The real Kofar, you know. Like the early Reform movement. So Rav Hirsch was once invited. He was being friendly. He was invited to some, you know, temple. They wanted to meet with him. They wanted to talk to him. Alright, it wasn't, you know. They're Jews. He wanted to speak to them. So he came to their temple, their shul, so to speak. And when Rav Hirsch walked in, he said, wow, he said, this shul in Mamish reminds me of the Teva of Noach. So they said, really? What? How does this remind you? Know, maybe it's like salvation for the world, you know? How does it remind you of the Teva of Noach? He says, because the Pasuk says about the Teva, v'chafarta osam ibayis mechutz b'kofer. He says, this place is Mamish, it's filled with kofer. The place of Kfira. They walked out, that was the end of their dialogue. Okay. But really, it's a chizik. We say the kofer, we say deep down inside, you're a good Jew too. Right? You have some misguided shittas, and you've corrupted your way of thinking, and you're falling in love with all the wrong things. But deep down inside, you also love a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? Alright, let's go weiter. Now, I want to just point that. Very interesting. Is it possible to love anything besides Hashem? Right? Meaning, would Hashem allow us to love our families? Or does Hashem, when He says, as we always say, on a daily basis, in Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim, I love you, Hashem, with all my heart. All my heart means all my heart, literally. Like, all my heart means like 95%, 5% for my spouse, for my children, my parents, right? So what is Hashem, how much does Hashem expect us to give over our hearts fully to Him? So it's interesting. We'll just raise it as a question. There seems to be a stira in two marshas. A marsha in Pesachim and a marsha in Yom. In source number 9, the Gemara tells the story in Maseches Pesachim, the greatest story of rabbinic intellectual integrity. What's the story? Shimon HaMsuni, or some say Nechemya HaMsuni, darshaned every S in the Torah. Every time it says S or Ace, right? He darshaned it to S as a reboy to include something else. Right? Bereishis Bara Elokim, Ace HaShemayim Beis Haaretz. So what is that Ace? It comes to include something. Hashem made Shemayim and Aretz, but He also made something with it. Well, what is that thing He made with it? So Shimon HaMsuni sat down and he worked through the whole Torah and he darshaned every S in the Torah. He got stuck on one of them. What did he get stuck on? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Right? Fear God, but it sounds like fear something with God. Fear something with God. What is there to fear other than God? There's nothing to fear other than God. So he abandoned his project. Now that's unbelievable, right? And many Sfarim talk about the intellectual integrity. Like most people, if you work on a PhD, and then you unearth a little bit of evidence that contradicts everything you wrote, right? So you come up with some tarots for it, or you don't pretend that you knew that information. You don't scratch, you know, hundreds of pages of writing. Well, this Shimon HaMsuni was working on his magnum opus, came across this pasuk, fear something with God. Fear something with God? Must be my whole theory is wrong. They threw it out. So the Talmidim said, you're going to give it up, right? I mean, the students, they didn't have his integrity. They said, you're going to give it up? You know, figure something out. So he said, no, the same way I'm going to get reward for everything I tried to explain, I'm going to get reward for knowing when to stop. It's a chashuv thing. So then Rabbi Akiva came along, where it's bolded in the last source, end of source 9, Ad Shabba Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva came with a drasha. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim. You know what you're allowed to fear along with God? You're allowed to fear Talmidei Chachamim, who are the embodiment of Torah. You should have the same awe that you have for God, you should have for a Talmid Chacham. Says the Marsha in source number 10, what did he do with Hashem, Es Hashem Elokecha, what did he do with the pasuk of loving Hashem? Right? What did he do with Vahavta, Es Hashem Elokecha? He seemed to have worked that one out. He got stuck on fearing God. What else could I fear with God? Well, he didn't get stuck on what else could he love with God. Vahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. So what else can one love with God? So says the Marsha in source number 10, where it's bolded, the Ika Lahash was Avas Tamar Chacham Lamakum. He didn't have a hard time imagining that you could love a Talmud Chacham. Love God and love a Talmud Chacham. Why did he think you can't fear a Talmud Chacham? Until Rabbi Akiva told him you can also fear a Talmud Chacham. Because he thought fear means what? Fearing that God is going to punish you. Well, Talmid Chachamim, they don't have the ability to punish. Now again, you could question them and say, well, we have Beis Din and we do have punishments. Right? But the idea of Schar Va'onesh, the only one you answer to in terms of, right, being fearful of divine retribution is God. So loving something with God, he said, I can love a Talmud Chacham. That Shimon HaMsuni didn't get stuck on. But fearing something with God, he said, what can you fear besides God? Only God can punish you. And so Rabbi Akiva said, no, maybe it doesn't mean fear in the sense of punishment, it means awe. And awe you can have for Talmid Chacham as well. Okay, that's the Marshan Psachim. The problem is the Marshan Yoma seems to say just the opposite. Because the Gemara in Yoma says, what does it mean? Again, the mitzvah that we're trying to learn tonight. Va'avta es Hashem Elokecha. Love Hashem. What does it mean to love Hashem? Says the Gemara in Yoma, she'shem shemayim mishayiv al yadcha. If you love God, you know what it means? Cause God to become beloved because of you. Live a life that when people look at you and they say, you're a great guy. Why are you such a great guy? He says, because I'm a God-fearing Jew. They say, really? You act the way that you do because you're Jewish? You have a family like you do because you're Jewish? You have honesty and integrity in your business dealings because you're Jewish? Wow, the Jewish God must be really great. So says the Gemara, that's what it means. One of the ways that we love Hashem is what? Is to make Hashem beloved. To make Hashem beloved in the eyes of people. That the way that you act, people look at you and say, wow, how lucky are those people who learn Torah. So look at the Marsha writes here in Yoma, source 12. The Marsha in Yoma, again, seems to contradict exactly what he wrote in Psachim. In Psachim he said what? Just to review for a second. In Psachim he said in source 10 what? Loving something with God, I can imagine. Love a Talmud Chacham. Fearing, he couldn't, right? Shimon HaMsuni couldn't figure out until Rabbi Akiva said, you can also fear a Talmud Chacham. Look what he writes in source 12. He says, Nira, Shedarshu kein mevahavta es Hashem, bishum dahachi lo mashmalei lemedras es Hashem l'rabos tamir chachamim. Why does the Gemara in Yoma say, loving Hashem means making Hashem beloved? Why did the Gemara say exactly what Rabbi Akiva said? That ve'ahavta eis Hashem elokecha means love Hashem and talmidei chachamim. Says the Marsha, because when it comes to loving God, you can't love anything other than Hashem. When it comes to fearing God, you can also fear a talmid chacham. The love is exclusive for Hashem. So that's the exact opposite of what he said in Psachim. Okay, so I just leave it on the table as a question. But again, it has an interesting implication, right? When it comes to fear and love, which again are two sides of the same coin, right? Again, we're focusing on love. But when it comes to loving Hashem, is it absolutely exclusive that we can't entertain the possibility of loving anything other than Hashem? Right? Or is it possible that no, loving Hashem could include loving Talmidei Chachamim? And then, again, once we open that up, then maybe it includes other appropriate loves, such as my family, and to loving my fellow Jews, right? That has to fit in also, in some way. Okay, we only have a couple minutes left, so let's take a look quickly. How does one actually fulfill the mitzvah of loving Hashem? Right? Again, the Rambam told us what we're trying to get to, this infatuation, this obsession with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do I do it? How do I actually do it? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Source 13, the way to love Hashem, the way I actually do this mitzvah. Right? Now I'm sitting in my office, it's a Tuesday afternoon, and I'm thinking, I want to do the mitzvah of loving Hashem, so what do I do? So says the Sefer HaChinuch, think about Hashem. That's loving Hashem. Thinking about Hashem is loving Hashem. The same way that I think about the thing, I spend a lot of time thinking about the things that I care a lot about. So if you love Hashem, you think about Hashem. That's what the Chinuch writes. He says where it's bolded, Shenachshov in Izboni b'kudav pulosav. Think about Hashem's mitzvos. Think about Hashem's actions. Ad shenasigeyu kefi yechalteinu. Until we're able to understand Hashem as best we can. The more you understand Him, the more it's an indication that you love Him. And then you'll start to feel what? You'll start to feel this tremendous pleasure, this delight of feeling close to Hashem. Right? Then he goes on, he quotes the Medrash, the Sifrei, that loving Hashem means learning about Hashem. Again, similar idea. Klomar, where it's bolded. She'im his bonus, but Torah, thinking, learning Torah. Learning Torah is another way I love Hashem. So again, number one, I love Hashem just by thinking about Him. I think about His amazing ways. I think about He once took us out of Mitzrayim. I think about His mitzvahs. I study His Torah. And last but not least, says the Chinuch, another way to express love of Hashem is again to make others love Hashem. teach others about God. Okay? So we really have three steps here in the Chinuch. Think about Hashem, think about the great things He does and His mitzvos, learn His Torah, and also to make Him beloved in the eyes of others, like we saw in the Gemara and Yom. Yeah?
I think it's more like the more you have Siyata Lishmaya, the more you feel that He's involved, then it's like any other, like when you love anybody.
So you want Him to initiate?
No, I'm saying like if you have Siyata Lishmaya, you had a good business deal. Something wrong.
Okay.
So if you had the Lishmaya, that it was, you know, Hashem was buying the whole thing, and you're really happy, then you love the person who was involved, and that
right.
who let that business deal go well. Granted, the same thing's going to happen if something doesn't go well, you're going to theoretically be upset too. But like,
right.
And in order to love, is that if something, if the more Siyata Lishmaya you have in your life, the more you realize everything really comes.
So a lot of sifrei machshava talk like
things.
This.
You're gonna feel love.
Right.
Whatever it is, you have something.
That Hovis Lavovis talks like this.
Big test, something like that. I mean, either you did it yourself, you can say, "Oh, I passed the test," or if you have the shrine, you're like, "I passed it because."
Right. And I feel so.
Yes, you'll express that feeling of love. Even though it's not a person.
Right.
But you.
So you're sort of associating Avos Hashem with Hakaras HaTov, which again is totally fine. That's what Chovos Lavovis writes like that. Rishis Chachma writes like that. A lot of big Bali machshava and early sifrei Musar say. The way to love Hashem is to realize, oh my goodness, I'm breathing. Oh my goodness, my heart is beating. How could I not be madly in love with Hashem just for that? Kol ha-neshama ta'alka aluka. The Medrash says, al kol neshima u'neshima ta'alka. Take a breath every day and say, thank you Hashem for allowing me to breathe. Even with my congested sinus infection over here, I can still say thank you to Hashem. Yeah, but exactly what you're saying. The more that you appreciate what Hashem, even let's say when you're not, you know, don't have those standout moments like the big business deal that worked out. The fact that you're alive is enough to be madly in love with Hashem for giving you life and for giving you anything. That's 100% a good mahalach. Okay, so that's this chinuch wants us to start thinking about Hashem. Now there's two Rambams. And with this, we'll start to wrap up. There's two Rambams that Sfarim point to that seem to contradict each other in terms of what I'm supposed to think about. The Rambam in Yesod HaTorah in Source 14 says, if you want to fall in love with Hashem, forget mitzvot, learning Torah, just look at the world. The natural world is enough to fall wildly in love with Hashem. Right? Again, a beating heart, a child being born. A beautiful sunset. Right? A shooting star. You look at the natural wonders of the world, says the Rambam, you see the neflos habore, again, just within Teva, and you fall wildly in love with Hashem. That's what the Rambam seems to write in Yesod HaTorah. Many Sfarim contrast it with the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Source 15, where he says, what does it mean to be in love with Hashem? What's the mitzvah of loving Hashem? Shenisbonin v'naschil mitzvosav upulosav. Think about mitzvos. Think about the Torah. Think about the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond the natural world. So again, everyone's trying to figure out, is this a steer on the Rambam, right? Are these different levels? Is the first level to be able to just open my eyes and see the wonders of the world? And a higher level is to appreciate Hashem through the Torah? There's a commentary on the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvah, called Kinos Sofrim. So he raises this as a question, right? Meaning, what's the best way to fall in love with Hashem? Thinking about nature? Do I fall more in love with Hashem lying outside on a clear night, looking at the stars, and just taking in the beauty of the universe? Right? Or do I fall more in love with Hashem? I'm reading a pasuk in Chumash. And again, they don't have to be mutually exclusive, but what is the Rambam seems to be telling us in two different places that they're different approaches to falling in love with Hashem. And again, whether we view it as levels, we view it as a contradiction, geared towards different types of Jews, get something to be aware of, different approaches within the Rambam. But I want to try to answer this Rambam in a very beautiful way, based on something I once heard from Rav Yonason Sacks, not Rabbi Dr. Lord Jonathan Sacks, Rabbi Yonason Sacks from Psaic, from Landers, former Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva Sarvini Yitzhak Elchanan. Okay? But to do that, we have to just learn one halacha. The Rambam writes in Source 16, if a person has a suffix if he said Shema, you're not sure if he said Shema. Shema is very important. So the Rambam says, suffix kara kriya Shema, suffix lo kara, you know what you need to do? Chozer v'kore, you repeat Shema, not surprising. Then you also say the brachos that accompany the Shema. And that part is surprising. Why is that part surprising? Because normally we assume the mitzvah of saying Shema is a mitzvah of the Torah. The mitzvah of birchos kriya Shema is a mitzvah derabanan. All birchos and mitzvahs are derabanan. What's particularly shocking here, Anyway, Sachs talks about this in his Sefer, which I brought along, Orchos Yamim. Simon Hay talks about this. What's particularly shocking here is that it's against the Rambam all over the place. This is the one Rambam where the Rambam says, do the mitzvah again and make the bracha. Everywhere else the Rambam says, not like that. So for example, the Rambam writes, the Ravid disagrees, the Ravid thinks that once you do the mitzvah again, part of doing the mitzvah again is saying the bracha. But the Rambam says, no, the bracha is the Rabbanan. You don't repeat the bracha. So let's say you have someone who has a suffik bris milah. Yeah? So misafik, what do? You repeat the bris, you remove whatever is necessary, right? Whatever is a suffik arla, but you don't make the bracha on the bris milah. A person has a suffik about shaking a lulav. So the Rambam writes, you shake the lulav again, but you don't make a bracha. A person who is born in a very strange way, a tumtum or an androgynous, right? A person whose sexual identity is not clear, a tumtum or an androgynous, a unique category in halacha. Not sure, are they male, are they female, right? Based on their genitalia. So they have an obligation, the Rambam says, misafik, to do mitzvahs, but they don't make brachos. They don't make a bracha, misafik. All over the place, the Rambam says, if you have an animal, the koi, you're not sure, it's a safek chai, a safek behema. Definitely requires shechita. So you shech this animal. Do you do kisoy adam? You do kisoy adam. Do you make a bracha? You're not sure, so you don't make the bracha. So the question is, this is the standout Rambam. Right? Why does the Rambam by Shema, you're not sure if you said Shema, repeat Shema, and also say the brachas again? What's the pshat?
Part of Shema.
Oh, so Rav Sachs develops, based on his sword from Rav Soloveitchik, and brings other proofs as well, that it could be that the brachos of Shema is not like all other birchos and mitzvah. Normally you have the mitzvah, and then Chazal Mertakim midrabanan, when you shake a lulav to make it nice, so you make a bracha. It could be the brachos of Shema are part and parcel with the mitzvah of accepting God in my life. Now, that's where Sachs develops lahalacha in his Sefer. I'll just tell you very, very quickly, it's interesting, it does have a nafka mina that some people are sensitive to. The Gra talks about this in Simon Mem Vav. And there's a tshuva from the Pre-Yitzchak about this as well. Let's say you start Minyan, right? Shabbos, you daven a little bit later, and it's almost Zman Kriya Shema. So the Gabbai gets up, if he's a good Gabbai, and says, alright, so Zman Kriya Shema is 9:23, it doesn't appear that we're going to make it, because we're trying to say Pesukei Dezimra for more than 6 minutes, so it does not appear that we're going to make it, so therefore, no, you should say Shema now if you want to get the mitzvah. So the Vilna Gaon says, not so simple, because if this is true, that the brachos of Kriya Shema is also part of Kriya Shema, right? So you may not get the mitzvah in the optimal fashion. That's what the Prius like develops in that tshuva. That's what the Grot talks about in Simon Mem Vav.
Maybe it's more than that.
It could be you need the whole package to get the mitzvah.
Maybe it's also not that part of it. It helps you to really appreciate it and not just be in the mood for Shema, but properly have the kavana for Shema by saying the brachos.
Oh, so why? So this is where Sachs doesn't say the same. This is what I once heard him say.
Because that's where it gets you like that ahava that you need.
So why? So let's think about Birchos Kriya Shema for a second. You'll see it's beautiful. It's mamish beautiful. And it's these two Rambams. Exactly these two Rambams. What are the two brachos we say before we say Shema? Yotzer Or. We talk about what? The sun, the moon, the stars, the beauty of the creation. And then we say? Avarabba. Right? Then we talk about what? Then we talk about mitzvahs and loving. So it's exactly if Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, my ultimate declaration to Hashem, my ultimate commitment to Hashem, might be that I'm madly in love with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I say these brachos, it's not just like a hakdama that's totally disconnected. It's a regular. It's not a birchas mitzvah like shaking a lulav. Right? It's not a birchas mitzvah like bris milah. This is part of my expression of Kabbalah Somachas Shemayim. And I do so by saying these two brachos, by saying one bracha that talks about the wonders of creation, which helps me to fall in love with you, Hashem. And then secondly, I say a bracha of Ava Rav or Ava Solam, depending on your nusach, right? Where I say a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm madly in love with your mitzvahs. And the combination of these two things allows me to say the MS to really express Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
The conclusion of that,
it's beautiful.
The second bracha is it's not just we are loved.
Okay, so you have to figure out where
Hashem's love of us, which is now our answer to it.
So that might tie into what Dovi says also. All the things Hashem does for us is his expression of love to us, mm-hmm. And now it bounces back. But yeah, we have to figure out how that fits in as well.
Well, that is the truest dialogue of tefillah, right? The truest dialogue of tefillah is one that we are calling out to Hashem, and his answer is, I'm, you know, like you said in the previous year, I'm giving you absolutely everything you absolutely right? need. So it's an open declaration.
Right. That's probably the pshat. Hashem can demand of us to love Him fully, because it's a reciprocal. It's a reciprocal relationship. He is committed to loving us fully. So that's an amazing way to look at it.
A couple times, but it's interesting again, even in the final source, that it's the Rambam again.
Yeah.
You know, specifically, not just that the Rambam is right. inconsistent with other places, but that is the Rambam.
That's because the Rambam says, if you want to say Shema and mean it, you have to have this Hakdama of Avas Hashem. Yeah.
Marek also ends Hakdama Yisrael.
Right. No, this would be true. This would be true by day and by night. Okay, I want to conclude in the final source. Something that was in the writings of Rabbi Nachum Mendel Shklover. Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Shklov was a Talmud of the Gra, one of the very close Talmudim of the Gra. Whole Maisa, how they discovered his writings and published them. But he says an amazing thing. And I want to end with this as a tefillah. We're at the end of Galus. We're mamash at the end of Galus. We just went through a Tisha B'Av, and we're trying to take those final steps. And there's so many things that people are falling in love with today. So much nonsense that we fall, you know, that we're obsessed with, that we're literally addicted to and obsessed with, and so attached to, and so in love with. Right? It's interesting. The Chose of Lublin said, it's printed in the Divrei Emes in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. The Chose of Lublin said that if you look at that last Mishnah in Sota, it says that one of the signs for the coming of Mashiach is that what? Is that Yiras Shemayim is going to be despised. God-fearing people are going to be hated. Pashim Pshat, certainly true. But the Chose of Lublin said, you know what it means? It means that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be this revolution of Ahava, where Jews start to feel, I think he quotes from Reb Zusha, where Jews start to feel, I don't want to serve Hashem out of fear alone anymore. It doesn't feel right. I want to be in love with God. Right? And you see that. You know, whether you want to go back to like Woodstock, where like people started like, but that's what's unfolding in the world today. People want to feel loved. People want to feel appreciated. I don't want to serve God. You go back a couple generations, and Hashem says to do it, so you do it. Now everyone wants to know, why should I do it, right? I want to do it because I feel like God cares about me. People are interested in that love. So the Chose of Lublin, I think B'Shem Reb Zusha, said that's the pshat. That one of the signs of the end of the days is Yir HaShemayim is going to be despised. It's not saying, God forbid, we're going to hate God-fearing people. We're going to say, we're not satisfied with just Yira. I want Ahava also. And that's really the response to the two, so to speak, enemies that we're fighting against at the end of time. Look what Rabbi Nachum Mendel Shklover brings, a beautiful remes, very deep remes. The two other religions in the world, which the Rambam actually praises in the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, for helping us to teach the world that there's a concept of Messiah, we have to have Hakaras HaTov to Christianity and to Islam for helping us spread the word, so that when the real Mashiach comes, everyone's going to know about it. But again, these religions, right, have caused false love to exist in the world, have caused people to love false gods. And therefore, we have to try to reject these false gods and return to true love. So he says, who are the founders of these religions? These people who preached a different type of love, right? He says, Muhammad and Yeshua. Right? Jesus and Muhammad are the ones who preached in the names of were the founders of these religions. So he says, Muhammad, as it's written in the Torah, Mahmud. And Yeshu, he says, is Begumachi of Ahavta. And therefore, if we can return to true fulfillment of Ahavta, Hashem Elokecha, right? That'll bring the Gula. He says, it's hinted to actually the Pasuk in Chukas when it says, Es Vahav Besufa. He says, Es Vahev, again, is the same gematria of Mahmud and Yeshu, and the letters of Ahavta. Es Vahev Basufa, Basof, at the end of time, we have to return to real Ahavas Hashem. It's not enough to just do mitzvot because God said so. We have to develop that feeling of being madly in love with Hashem, in love with the Bria, in love with the mitzvot. And in that way, we can fight off these religions, which are battling it out on the world stage before our eyes, right? The Western world of Christianity and radical Islam, and Amir Tzashem, if we can have true Ava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll be Zocha to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He'll return to us as well.